Hello and welcome to another episode of Architecture for Kids podcast. I'm your host, Antonio Caplan. I'm a trained architect, an architectural educator, and founding director of award-winning Architecture for Kids CIC. In this podcast, I'm going to talk to practitioners and creatives that share the same passion as I do, to inspire and to engage children and young people to shape their built environment and the creative industries. The podcast is brought to you in collaboration with the Built Environment Trust, the Thornton Education Trust, and the Wells School of Architecture, Cardiff University. My guest today is Jorge Rayedo. Jorge is from Zaragoza, Spain, and he lives in Bogota, Colombia since 2015. He is the founder of Orsa Menor, a research and practice in art and architecture education for children and young people. He has collaborated with kindergartens, colleges, universities, museums, theaters, city councils on several continents. Some of his educational projects are Anidar, Architecture and Childhood in Argentina, Ludantia, First International Biennale of Architecture Education for Children and Young People in Spain, Rakennetan Kaupunki in Finland, AMAG, Magazine of Architecture for Children in Spain, What is Architecture in Spain. Jorge, thank you for talking to me today, and I'm looking forward to our conversation.
What were your favorite subjects at school, and what were you good at school?
My favorite subjects in the school were art and history. No new subjects, but the methods, yes. I would like to work groups doing projects, not so much time sit down in a chair. Most of the time, almost sleeping. That's the thing I will change.
Well, did your career path to develop, and what support or not did you get?
Yeah, I started to work with children, teacher of arts and architecture education for children in 2008 by chance, because I was working in theater and I wanted to do a project, a theater play for children. I didn't find the money to do that. I started to do some videos for free in YouTube. They were very successful, and people started to, biennales or museums started to demand or to ask me workshop for children. I changed my life in theater to be teacher of architecture and art for children by chance, and I enjoyed it more. It was not a plan. Maybe I think the fate, no, the destino.
When you were studying, what do you want to become?
I had not a clear dream about what I wanted to be. I started to study architecture. I wanted to be an architect in Barcelona, and I studied 3 years in Barcelona and also 1 year in Rome, being Erasmus with a scholarship. But I changed. I lost my motivation in not in architecture, but just in study that in the university. And then I studied theater. Why? I don't know. I saw in my mind like the stage, it was my place. So I studied to be playwright and stage director, and I worked 10 years in professional Catalan theater, and I enjoyed it very much, and I learned a lot. But at some point, it was also not so amazing, because yes, to work in theater is fine, people is excellent, but sometimes the projects are very commercial, and I started to say, yeah, I want to do something for kids. Maybe it's more useful. I want to be useful in the society or for the society. And that's why I wanted to do that project for kids, but I didn't find the money, and I arrived to work with children with the videos and architecture education for children. It's like the wind put me here or there. Organic, yes, is a positive way to understand that, yeah, organic.
You are now in Colombia, in Bogota. You've done quite a lot of things in Spain. One of them, Ludantia International Biennale for Children. And you've worked in different parts of Europe as well with different organizations, like, for instance, in Finland. So tell us a little bit about this trajectory. How did that evolve?
From 2008 to 2011, I worked in Barcelona. My headquarter was in Nau Ivanov. It's a cultural center. We made with a team projects for kids, architecture education for kids. But the economical crisis was very big in Barcelona and Spain, and always culture and education are weak when the economical crisis arrives. In Finland, small associations were interested in my projects in Barcelona, and they invited me to be 1 year in Helsinki doing a new opera with children, students of a primary school. I left Barcelona and I went to Helsinki, and at the end I was in Finland 4 years, and we made 4 operas, one per year, and those 4 years in Finland were very important for me because Finland is excellent with education for children and also with arts education for children, because the schools are fantastic, but also they have a lot of activities for children in museums. There are schools of art for children in all the cities in Finland. So there are a lot of artists teaching arts to children. In a country, there are a lot of people doing that. The level is higher because a lot of people are thinking about that. And I learned a lot doing that and working in schools with the teachers. And I came to Colombia because personal things. I'm married with a Colombian architect, Fabiola Uribe, and she also works with children. And that's I live in Colombia since 2015. And from that moment, I have done projects in Colombia, but also the biggest projects have born in Spain. For example, Ludantia, the first Biennale of Architecture Education for Children. My collaboration with the Universidad Autónoma de Madrid, with Santiago Astro, we created this entity as Escuela en Arquitectura Educativa. It's a school of education architecture or something like that, to think, to promote projects about the quality of space for education. I have done several projects here, and also collaborations with Argentina, with a platform of a magazine, Arca, it's a magazine of architecture, and with Marca, we have created Anidar, it's like nesting. We have made some projects in Buenos Aires, but later we made about 126 conversation online with professionals about architecture or art education for children, with 126 more guests from several countries. I have a lot of projects in my mind or projects, can do plans, so yes, but at the end, a lot of things in life, the wind came, so at the end, you cannot do that, but you can do other things. There are a lot of factors. One is money, but it's not the only one. It's the will of people, the will of the society for art education for children, architecture education for children, a lot of factors that make for possible the project.
You've been working with children and young people for quite some time now, and I've noticed a change in the way we are working. And also, what will be interesting to know from you, because you've worked in a range of countries as well as continents, what have you found as common threads or the differences? Give us your opinion and your experience on this landscape, please.
Yes, I'm very lucky because I'm working with children from several countries, also in China. That was a fantastic trip to Shanghai. But usually kids are quite similar everywhere, if they are healthy kids, because if they have problems of food or other things, but if they have food, family, they are quite similar. The difference is the society. We are born like white canvas, and it depends in what society we are growing up. The drawing and the forms and the colors and the canvas are different. And at the end, we became, nobody is born like English or British or Spanish or Chinese, but you grow up and you became British or from this city. And also education, the objective usually of the education is to promote, to provoke, or to paint these kids as members of that society. That's a big difference. It's the adults, not the kids. But more or less everywhere, families want the best for their kids. Society wants the best for the people, more or less. Yes, and I think from you go to China and some people say, yes, that's not a democracy. Yes, okay, that's maybe I prefer a democracy, but it's not a hell. You know, a lot of people working to be happy and to enjoy life in that system. There are a lot of differences, but in the main things are equal, to live in peace, more or less, you know, and to enjoy life. And art is very important for that.
And do you want to talk a little bit about some of these projects that you have involved with, like for instance, the opera in Finland or any kind of workshops you're doing there in Bogota at the moment or the past. Just give us an example or a flavor for what they're like.
They are very different. There's the project in Finland doing the four operas. It was very a particular project because I was 8 months inside the school working with a group of kids and with the teachers. It's my favorite kind of project, to work in schools with the kids and the teachers together, doing something together, art together. In that case, was theater, opera, but it can be architecture or anything, or a film. Okay, everybody, we have to create something, opera, and we have a lot of problems in our way, and we have to resolve those problems together because we have to present something to an audience. In that trajectory, the kids learn a lot of things about art as a language, in that case, theater, but theater means also it's words, it's music, it's movement, dance, it's space. Theater is mainly bodies in a stage, in the space, and they learn this art as a language, but also to work together, these human conflicts, we have to resolve them together. This is my favorite place, but to work in schools usually is quite complicated because you need school open schools with teachers, that they want different projects, and somebody have to pay that. The other projects, well, yes, I have done a lot of short workshops in museums or school, but sure, maybe 1 hour or 10 hours, but not because I think to learn art or architecture, yeah, kids need time. Of course, if you do a workshop of 1 hour or 1 hour long, they learn something, but if they work 1 year, better. That's what I love at the arts, schools of arts for children in Finland, because kids can learn arts several years following. Now, well, another kind of project is like this, Conversaciones Sanidad, a nesting conversation with professionals to know what the other professionals around the world are doing, to connect with them, to create a network, to learn together, no? Because you are, Antonio, are a neuron and I am another. And when we talk, there is a kind of some synapses. And Biel de Ludantia, the first Biennale of Art, Architecture Education for Children, that was the main objective, to promote and to do visible those projects and professionals working around the world about architecture education for children in several ways, because some people teach architecture as language, others do like participatory projects to transform streets or squares or a school, others are thinking about how to design better schools, others are designing games, didactical materials for schools from design or architecture. A lot of professionals doing different things in the same field of architecture, education, and children. Ludantia wanted to join them and promote to visible for the world. And also, Ludantia, when we made our international competition of projects made by kids, helped by adults, but made by kids, transforming spaces, mainly schoolyards, but also other things. We received about 100 projects. But my favorite project is to work with kids. But also, now I am also enjoying very much to work with teachers, but also done this project to know and to join professionals around the world, as you are doing with in this wonderful podcast.
Tell me about this work you're doing with the teachers. Are you creating some kind of framework with them that can be rolled out and used at different levels to do with architecture, or what is this work?
Well, it depends. First, we have to decide what the teachers have to learn or want to learn. Is to introduce architecture as a subject or art, or is for how to use the educational space in a better way? For example, I know that in Spain, some people have done several workshops for teachers in that way. So some teachers are working in their school. We don't know if the building is old or new, but of course the teacher and the educational team, they have a pedagogical project and a pedagogical objectives in this school different to the others. This pedagogical project, I usually say it's like a hand, and the spaces, furniture, and other didactical material is like the glove. If we have a clear hand, easier to design glove. If not, maybe the glove is good for that hand or not. This is a practical good thing now for teachers. So then we have chairs, we have tables, we have some kind of window with a light, the quality of the light, or why I'm working in this way with the kids. What kind of educational projects I want to do? That's the main question that the teachers I want to ask themselves. If they have clear that, they will know how to put the tables, the chairs, how to move the group around the school, why the kids have to be sit down, like it's a torture to be 7 hours sit down. Why? That is just this kind of workshop is the more usual with teachers. Also in Colombia, we have done some, for example, for early childhood from 3 to 6 years old, the teachers are usually very, very interested to use better the spaces and objects. And now I'm doing PhD with the Faculty of Education of Girona, and I'm creating a project how to introduce architecture in schools of Bogota, primary schools in Bogota, how to introduce architecture education as artistic language. That's my point of view of architecture. But in this process, now in this month, I'm working with the teachers. I show them what I'm thinking, well, think that we have to teach these things to the kids. The teachers say, well, it's good for us, for the kids, or maybe you should do it in another way. Or I think so my students, it's better to do a more contextual approach, no so abstract approach. At the end, in the next year, I will work with their students after talking with it. Is there another way to involve the teachers? Because I think it's impossible to work inside a school without the teacher. Of course, it's possible, but it's not good.
Also, because there's a knowledge there that you are missing out if you don't tap into it.
Exactly. First, because they are teachers and they know more about education and pedagogical things, and they know their students, they know their problems, they know their families. And I'm an artist or architect, or maybe I know more about processes of creation. like something like, no? How to create something, how to create art, how to live lost in the way in this, no, because an artist is, my more or less, I know what the steps, but usually I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm not worried. And teachers, usually they don't know how to do that because they need to know what are they doing. If we work together, it's good for everybody. It's funny.
That's very interesting what you just said, because that goes on to the next question, which is if you have an opinion about the current educational system, either perhaps we could focus on where you are in Bogota to do with your PhD, and it would be quite interesting, or Spain. Or what do you think is working? What do you think needs to change? And how can we develop things?
This question related to what I was explaining before about children are more or less equal in every way, but the difference is the society and their educational system is different and the curriculum is different. And for example, in Colombia, there is not national curriculum. It's very a bit strange. In Colombia, there are a lot of educational problems, educational system, but it's difficult to talk. And in Europe, there are different styles of curriculum. In Anglo-Saxon countries, usually there is not, I think, a national curriculum. I'm not sure.
No, we have.
You have. For example, the German style is very, what's the other name in English? Rigido.
Strict.
In German way, kids, when they are 12 years old, the system decides if they have to be professional or academic or technical. But I like very much the Finnish curriculum system because they try to be the same curriculum for everybody until 17 years old, I think. And it's very flexible because, of course, the curriculum and educational system is shadow of the light of the society. If a society, main objective is to create an equal, everybody have the same opportunities, the curriculum is for that. I think it's a good way. All the opportunities for everybody became the best of themselves. But why? To become the best possible country. We give them all the possibilities to be a girl or a boy to be the best artist or scientific or doctor. It is good for the country. In Spain, it's a lot of people just talk, oh yeah, possibilities for everybody. We have to be equal, but it's no so real. We have done a very good work in the last decades, but we have the main project in Spain with the curriculum is that every 4 or 8 years, the government changed the curriculum and educational law. It depends if the right wing or left wing. That's impossible. There is not a consensus. It should be like, okay, education, this is the way. It doesn't mind if it's right or left. It's because it's a way for everybody to build a country for everybody. And in Spain, we were like, now, right, we changed the law. Now, left, we changed the law. It's impossible. And in Colombia, there is other problems, mainly with there are not schools or teachers in several parts of the country. And a city like Bogota or Medellin, but I know better Bogota, has done a very good work building schools in the last 30 years. Very excellent buildings with some problems. They are too big. But now almost all the kids have a place in a school. Now Bogota have to improve the quality. That's a different thing. And that's very interesting because if the school is the hardware, the teachers, the pedagogical project is the software. And sometimes the hardware is better or newer or than the software. That's why it's important in this kind of work with teachers to teach or to explain them the possibilities of this good hardware with schools designed to work doing projects, to mixing groups, mixing teachers with good workshop spaces, laboratories. Every country is different.
In your opinion, what is the impact that this work that you're doing, especially with children and young people, will have on the kids, will have on the built environment, as well as to the educators? Because we never talk about the impact on the educators, but there's actually an impact.
The impact of educators, teachers, on adults, on kids, it's very, very important itself. It's the main thing. The quality of this adult educator teacher is essential. Because the adult, for example, me, when I work with children, what I can teach, what I know a few things, maybe some technical things about art, architecture. But the main thing that I teach is what I do as a person. It has no sense to do a project, to be more democratical society. Kids, you have to be good citizens. If I'm not a good citizen as teacher, I cannot teach about sustainability and green city. If I am a citizen, I don't respect that. I cannot teach to be an equal society with respect between women and men if I don't respect a woman. That's the main thing. It's more important than if I'm teaching architecture as a language. That's the key. In Finland, the teachers are first excellent professionals. And what they teach is the responsibility of each citizen in the country. They know they are kids, you are growing up, and you have responsibilities in this country now as a kid and in the future as an adult. Doesn't matter if you are doctor, lawyer, or policeman. And that's the main thing. And also, we teachers of architecture and art, there is also because just to teach architecture, it's very important to know architecture and art. What for? If you don't know what?
What do you think is the impact on the built environment?
Yes, a big impact. A big impact if the kids learn, when they're a kid and youngsters, they learn about the importance of the city, urbanism, architecture, sustainability. Well, they have that in mind and in the heart, and they will put more attention. Because to teach architecture or built environment, it's very different for maybe you work with children. You teach some things, and I teach other things. For me, architecture is a lot of art, and I try to teach an art for the expression of with the space. But maybe you and other excellent professionals are teaching this what means how to build a city, how to build a public space, how to be a sustainable city. There are different approaches, and all are good. And of course, it has a big impact. Now it's very important, this vision, and to be worried about this, because the climate change will provoke a big disasters in cities. And it's good for this kid to learn how to think about that, how to study the problems and how to resolve them, because it will be a very big problem, and only together we or they will have to resolve it. Maybe we'll be 20, 30 years, we will be very too old, and they will have to resolve all the problems with us that we have created. And so the impact is necessary.
And what you mentioned as well in terms of the impact on the kid earlier, I thought it was quite interesting when you picked up on the Finnish example and you talked about that kids are taught to be citizens more than anything else. The respect for the environment and respecting what it is that they do, what they choose to do. I think that in itself would be a huge impact on the built environment as well. Was there a question I should have asked you that I haven't asked you? And what is that question?
A question that I should funny. I don't know. You have made important questions. What means architecture? That's very important, because this is an important question that everybody working with kids trying to teach architecture to children have to answer. Because I think, well, architecture, it's an art. And now doing my PhD, I'm looking for the main thing as an art. It's space, maybe the perspective. But for other people, maybe it's technology, or it's public space, or law, or politics. And I think it's very important, politics. But I think it's better to teach as architecture as artistic language. But why this is architecture, and this is painting, and this is a sculpture? They are different. But why? If I have clear this, I can teach something clear. Maybe it will be easier for the kids to understand and to develop. That's the main thing. Because sometimes people teach architecture in general way, mixing things. Maybe they learn something in the university, but it's not clear what they are teaching. I think sometimes too many things to be clear what. Art, sustainability, politics, participatory processes. Can you learn architecture without a participatory process? Yes, no. To build a model is to learn architecture, or it's necessary to work with your colleagues and friends or neighborhood to understand the problems, all the people in your neighborhood, and to try to resolve those problems with the children have they need to resolve the problems of those people. Is it possible to learn architecture with your citizens around you? What is architecture for you? Thank you very much, Antonio.
Thank you very much to my guests today, to all the listeners, and please subscribe to Architecture for Kids podcast. And leave your rating and the review. Recommend us to your friends and family. And to find out more about it, visit our websites, antoniocaplan-portfolio.co.uk, buildingcentre.co.uk, thorntoneducationtrust.org, cardiff.ac.uk. And follow us on Instagram, Arch4KidsCIC, Twitter, @Caplan. LinkedIn and Caplan, CAPELAO. And please join me again next week for another episode of Architecture for Kids podcast, brought to you in collaboration with the Built Environment Trust, the Thornton Education Trust, and the Welsh School of Architecture, Cardiff University.